Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the NSFW Photography Podcast. Today, we're interviewing Model Sarah. Model Sarah is an internationally published art nude model. She's been modeling for 18 years and has been published in Black and White magazine, Carrie Lee's Nude, Stern, and in art books by Tashin and Mammoth Photography. Her motto is Naked is Good. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm glad you're here. And I know we have specific topics we're planning on diving into, and we're going to spend the majority of our time there. But first, I have some personal and business questions so we can get a sense of who you are and why you model.
Okay.
All right. So why did you decide to do nude modeling? Your motto, Naked is Good, it is in a prominent place on your Model Mayhem page. That is a strong statement.
I fell into it, and I'm going to sound like a dinosaur here because this was before Google. In 2002, I got complimented by my bone structure, my skin, and my hair, I think, and the word modeling was thrown into the equation. And I was always under the assumption, you know, because of magazine covers, that you had to be really tall to be a model. And it didn't occur to me that modeling has existed forever. And I don't know why. And so again, before Google was a thing, I looked up modeling and I found this website that connected photographers and models. And I basically, I had a Polaroid camera at the time. I'm a photographer. I still work in film. And I took self-portraits. And the nude part is it didn't occur to me not to. So, because I'm very confident and I'm very comfortable in my own skin.
That makes sense. I used to shoot film myself. I will admit I was a much worse photographer when I shot film.
Really?
Because I was unable to, you know, check the back. I was a teenager. Yeah, okay. I was using my dad's old camera.
So, fair enough. Yeah.
I do have a follow-up question on that, though. You mentioned that somebody actually came up and approached you and told you, you know, complimented your cheekbones and your bone structure and said you could be a model. Is that a sketchy way for people to approach you, or is that normal?
It wasn't just one person. It was several people, actually, in one day. That's why it was on my mind. And I was like, I've got to look into this. So, yeah.
So it's just so stereotypical. You were just
complimenting me. Yeah. Right. No, that would be a little creepy.
All right. Are your politics or your personal beliefs reflected in your work?
I would say a little bit. I'm really, really left-leaning, and I am very against gun culture. So if a photographer asked me to pose with a gun, I wouldn't do that. But other than that, not really.
You know, that actually gives me a follow-up question that I had never thought about that when models are approached by photographers with, you know, suicide-themed or drug-themed or specific. Yeah. Hmm.
Obviously, if they had Nazi memorabilia, I probably wouldn't be working with them in the first place. So, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of photographers that are trying to be super risque just to stand out.
I know that was a thing. If that's still a thing, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Is there a specific aesthetic that you try to consistently portray, or do you really mold yourself to whatever the photographer is looking for at the time?
I think that people approach me for the fact that, like, I tell people I'm an aesthetic light reflector for a living. And the fact that, like, my work, my portfolio, and even my words intimidate a lot of people. So I feel like I attract the same sort of photographer, like somebody that's just looking for, you know, like a strong pose. And I get told that I do Greek poses a lot. And so I attract those sort of people, I think. And, yeah, I don't know if I answered the question properly, but
you said aesthetic light reflector, which I think goes for trying to reflect back what the photographer's trying to portray.
Yeah.
How do you think body image and modeling interrelate?
And for me, they don't. Yeah,
they don't. No. But you did say you're very confident.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, they do. I mean, I actually know models that have eating disorders because of this, and personally, it doesn't have any effect on me at all. I lead a healthy lifestyle because I want to lead a healthy lifestyle. I don't do it because of modeling.
That's fair. That makes sense. That, yeah, that's the ideal ideal method, right?
Yeah.
I noticed that you specifically called out in Model Mayhem that you enjoy working with new and aspiring photographers. What are some specific challenges you face, or maybe some specific instances that make you enjoy working with new and aspiring photographers?
They find that hiring a professional photographer or professional model makes their job a million times easier because they don't have to tell me what to do. And I think on their end, they think that they're supposed to live up to some of the images that are in my portfolio that are done, you know, like just that are so well done. And it's like, that's not, you don't just start and, you know, go to the top. It doesn't work that way. And so I constantly remind them that, like, that's why you hire professionals, because we make your creative outlet a lot easier.
That makes sense. Having worked with a few models that have never done it before, it is very interesting.
It's a different experience, yeah.
In comparison, I saw in your profile, you've worked with some pretty famous artists, including Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell, which admittedly are not photographers, but it's a similar, it's a very, very similar artistic endeavor. What are some things that you've seen when working with the professionals that you think amateur photographers should be also doing?
Well, at the end of the day, the professionals are just people, you know, they're just, I feel like amateur photographers hold those people at godlike status, and they really shouldn't do that. So I just do your thing, you know, you don't compare yourself to someone that's a professional. Again, when I worked with Boris, like, he was just the sweetest, like, old guy, you know, he was great. So it's like, they're not these idol people. They're just people like you. So just, you know, they do their thing and you do yours.
It's hard sometimes.
I know, I get it. Leave the ego, you know? Yeah.
Do you mm-hmm. work with a lot of other types of artists, or is it mostly photographers?
Yeah, I genuinely enjoy doing drawing classes and posing for sketch artists a lot, actually, because it's almost like a yoga session for me. I don't do yoga, but, like, that's what I imagine it's like. It's just, it's very, posing for still medium is extremely hard. You have 5-minute poses, you have 10-minute poses, you have 30-minute, you have 1 hour, you have 3-hour poses, and they're not only physically challenging, you have to, like, mentally go to another place. And so it's almost like, you know, just some sort of, like, I don't know, it's really, really, really hard to do. And I find it not physically hard, but challenging. And I like challenging myself because that's the way I evolve as a person.
Yeah. So what's on your bucket list for modeling?
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like I've done it all. I haven't shot in the fog yet. Maybe that.
Yeah. It's been real foggy around here the last couple of mornings. I don't know. You said you're on the East Coast, right? I mean, you're in Columbus, but you're traveling. Or is that next
week? I'm going to be in Baltimore next week. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's been cloudy. It's been foggy the last couple mornings, but yeah, you got to get up early and you got to check.
It's hard to plan.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about business. Cause I want to make sure that we, for other amateur models and frankly for amateur photographers too, it's not just all about posing in front of a camera. You've also got to make sure that you make it a successful business. If you don't make the money, you can't keep modeling. Have you set up structures to make yourself more successful? Do you have like a business plan? Do you have a specific business budget that you know how much you have to model and what you have to do?
I think it's just basically like, is it worth the effort at the end of the day? That's the end all be all for me, but I don't really, because I did fall into this, and I feel like I come from an era where you pay for the model's time and skill set. And so I just go by people, like, actually just go by my reputation really for the most part. And then I just feel out if, you know, a photographer would, like, if our styles mesh, and if I think they do, I'll let them know I'm in their area and they can hire me for that. So I've been relying on that for almost 20 years.
I see. How about in your personal life to make sure that, because one of the downsides of modeling is your schedule is never consistent. You're always traveling from place to place, and that can be a mess for habits. Do you have any personal structures you've set up to make sure you're on time? You know, you've got everything, especially when you're traveling.
Yes, I do. I only travel through the week. I do not travel on the weekends. Because I've been all over the world and I've just exhausted of traveling, I'll only travel out of my state for like 2 weeks out of the month. So it's basically Monday through Friday thing. Like next week is Monday through Friday. And that's my personal schedule, because my personal time is worth more than my work time. And I have complete control over it. So.
All right. Do one more question before we go into our topic. How do you advertise and where do you get most of your work? You mentioned a little bit before that you rely on your reputation. Is it local groups? Is it model sites like Model Mayhem, social media?
So I'm a minority here. I still rely on Model Mayhem. People reach out to me via email and if they've seen my portfolio somewhere, and because my email is everywhere. I don't use social media like other models do. And I mean, we'll talk about that later. But so I use Model Mayhem for the majority of that, because to be honest, there's so many people on it. Like if it's working for me, like if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, like
no sense in putting more effort towards something that's not proven to work.
Right.
All right, well, let's switch to the first of our two topics. First of our two topics is about, in fact, paying models and why models deserve their rates. So let's start off by kind of talking about what does a model do? I mean, everybody and every photographer, you know, knows they come over and they pose in front of your camera, but there's more to it than that, correct?
Oh, yeah. I spin 9 different plates at a time. You know, travel agent, I'm a professional driver, like, I could just go on and on. There's a bunch of different things that go into it.
Well, then let's be a little more specific then. Let's say you had next week you've got a trip coming up. What kind of prep work do you have to do before you even leave on the trip?
I just have to confirm things with everyone, and I have to make sure I have addresses in my phone of where I'm going. Actually, before smartphones, I would have to write out directions like on a paper. But now, you know, I rely on my phone, and I actually do write things down for a backup just in case something happens. So, pack the night before, make sure I've got everything in my car and yeah.
All right. And, on the day of the shoot, part of it's travel, but what else do you have to do to get prepped there?
Not a whole lot, because I don't wear makeup for, unless, you know, I'm required to, if it's portrait session or whatever. So not a whole lot. I mean, I wake up and I do my morning routine, and I make sure, actually I look at traffic more than anything, especially in the DC area. It's all the beltways and nightmares.
It's a nightmare. Yep.
Yeah. So I have to plan for that, and I have to give myself extra time, and I'm a very functional and like planning person. So I've already got this going in my head, and it's part of my routine. So I don't really have to do a whole lot.
Gotcha. Is that kind of automatic?
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot on habits lately, and it's been very eye-opening to me to realize how much of our life is just ruled by these habits. And if you can get your habits set up correctly, your life is so much easier.
It is. And I like easy.
All right. When you get to the shoot, what kind of work are you doing there?
It depends. Sometimes it's location stuff. Sometimes it's studio. If it's location, you know, you've got to plan if you're, that's another thing you have to fit into the rate and all that, is like, how far are we going in between shoots? Because I don't want to waste time in the car and all that. So normally the photographer's ready to go, but if he's not, I'm there. And if he wants me to do my makeup, I tell them I'm ready to go as soon as I get there. So they appreciate that for the most part. So, not a whole lot again, just dive into it usually.
I'm sure everybody's somewhat familiar with the types of modeling that goes on. You mentioned location and studio. What's the difference between those?
What do you mean? What's the difference?
The types of photography that would occur in one versus the other.
Oh, studio is more controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like people could be in, cause you know, I mean, we shoot in national parks, we shoot in just, you know, whatever. People could really ruin an outdoor shoot. You know, but you got to plan for that. You have to have, you know, backup plan and backup plan and backup plan. And so location, the studio, you don't really have to do that. So that's a huge difference in my opinion. But, you know, the lighting's controlled in the studio. It's not controlled outside. So that's a big issue. You know, you don't know if it's going to be sunny. You have to plan for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really unfortunate to schedule a shoot like 3 weeks at a time. And get exactly the wrong light for the concept, for sure.
Right, exactly. So you have to come prepared for that as a photographer. I mean, I'm used to it as a model, but yeah. Like I'll compromise sometimes. I'll be like, oh, well, here's a place over here that's shaded that, you know, the sunlight isn't in or whatever. Like I'm used to suggesting things like that. Especially if the photographer is new, you know, I'll help them out in that part, I guess.
What types of photography do you prefer to do in location versus prefer to do in studio?
I love location shooting. It's my natural element, I think. I'm more free to pose as opposed to a structured studio or a seamless or whatever. I go through poses with that, but with location shooting, it challenges me a lot more. Posing and, you know, you have to watch for people and all this. It's a lot more challenging.
All right. What type of prep work happens, or I guess we're not talking about prep work anymore. What type of work happens as you close out the shoot and get packed up and ready to move on to your next?
Well, you got to rely on like being intuitive at this point, because once you've exhausted the shoot, it's like, okay, you literally, especially on a location shoot, there's like a point A to point Z, and you hit a bunch of spots that you hit, and then you come to the end and that's it. And so we're all done. You know, it's just like, there's just literally an intuitive end to it.
How many different shoots do you typically schedule when you're traveling each day?
Oh, two, because I don't want to be exhausted. I want to be 100% for the person. I don't want to schedule a whole lot and just exhaust myself and not be a good model at the end of the day.
Yeah, I can see that. All right. Well, one thing we kind of hit on a little bit before, as a nude model, I imagine that fitness and diet are pretty important, especially when it comes to maintaining a consistent body size. Because no photographer, I imagine, wants to hire you when they think you look one way and you don't look like that anymore.
Sure.
So what kind of effort do you put into that? Is that special effort, or you mentioned before you just try and eat healthy normally?
Yeah. And I shouldn't say this. I rely on my good metabolism that I still have at my age. And
you're so lucky.
Yeah, I am. So no, I maintain a healthy lifestyle for myself. And I mean, I guess I'm constantly aware of what I look like because I'm in front of a camera, and I try to maintain that. But I also think it's important not to focus on numbers like your weight. And, you know, like if a photographer like shoots you and you look particularly like 10 pounds, that's not my fault. That's his. So it's like, I can't beat myself up over that. So I don't really have any body issues because, you know, I know what I look like. I know when I'm healthy and I know when I'm unhealthy. So, you know, like if I go through days where like I don't eat correctly or I don't eat or whatever, that makes me feel like crap. And so I don't want that to reflect in my work.
That's something I'm definitely noticing more and more as I get older. When I was, you know, 20 or so, I could eat whatever I wanted and I felt great no matter what. Not so much now.
You gotta work on it a little bit more as you get older, but the result is that you feel good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little more specifically about rates. Now, obviously we don't need to dive into numbers, but what kind of inputs did you add in figuring out your own rates? Is this based on purely time? Is it based on how much effort it takes? Or is it based on how much demand from the photographers there is for the type of modeling you do?
I would definitely say rule out demand. That's not really a factor. Effort probably is like, but it depends because what is effort, right? So for me, my rate has always been the same and it's not been adjusted for inflation or anything like that. And some photographers start the clock when you walk in the studios, and some of them like they start, you know, they start it when they push the camera on the shutter. I don't like those guys, but whatever. So it just really depends. But you block out a certain amount of time for whatever you're doing. And at the end of the day, you know what you're going to get paid. So
in relation to demand, there's a age old debate about modeling where you have a single rate for all your content because your time is equally valuable versus multiple rates based on type of, basically it's always level of explicitness due to the demand. Since you just said you came down on the single rate one, do you have any other thoughts about that debate?
What you just described, we call stripper rates, and it's hilarious. It's like, no, you're hiring me for my experience, not how many clothes I have on. Like I did an editorial for a local fashion person here, a fashion designer, like 6 months ago. And the photographer just happened to know me and they knew her. And I charged the same exact rate I would charge for an art nude shoot. It's all the same.
So what's the most successful way you found to monetize your work? Do you rely mostly on direct payments by modeling? Have you used payments, payment sites like Patreon or OnlyFans, where people who are big fans of you can give you money directly?
I don't do that because I find those to be mostly objectifying, and I severely dislike being objectified. And I find a lot of it to be sexual and like stripper type mentality. And I'm not saying they're all like that, but a lot of them are. And good for you for, you know, monetizing yourself like that. I mean, I just personally couldn't do that. So yeah, I just rely on direct payments.
What is the difference between a sexualizing nude work and an artistic nude work? Because, I mean, there's always, everybody goes back to that. I think it was a Supreme Court justice or a senator who was like, pornography. But what's your... Where does the boundary lie for you between those two things?
Lighting.
If there's no lighting, it's pornographic?
No, it's shadows. Yeah, it's all in the shadow work. If something is blatant, that's probably more than likely going toward the glamour porn thing. If it's not and it makes you think, it's probably artsy.
That makes sense. Yeah, the more light and the more explicit details you can see versus hidden.
So I have an image in my portfolio that Chip Willis took, and it looks like I'm going down on myself, but that's what is portrayed. It doesn't mean I was doing that, and the way he lit it was with the double exposure. So the image is so well done, your mind doesn't go sexual anything, but it's a little erotic and it makes you think, and that was the point of it. And there's lots of shadows there, so you can't see anything.
All right. So do you have any follow-up comments on rates before we move on to social media?
No, mine's just pretty standard.
All right. I need to come up. You know what I need to come up with? I need to come up with some better replies. I need to make a list of like 10 or 15 different replies so that I can vary them so that I'm not right. Just like, yes, and on to the next question.
I mean, I'm being pretty succinct here because I've thought about this stuff before. So.
Yep. Yep. And see, I almost said that makes sense again. Can't do that. All right. Let's pivot over to social media a bit then. You had specifically said that you had some strong thoughts about models and social media, specifically about power changes due to technology. What specifically were you talking about?
So, okay. Social media has kind of taken the wind under my sails a little bit. It's like, it's pivoted modeling to where like Instagram is nothing but like girls with cell phones and thirst traps. And it's like, I don't know how a photographer perceives it, but as a model, it's almost like our skill set is diminished. My job is actually really hard physically. And somebody that's on Instagram that's posting pictures of, you know, their butt or whatever, it's like, what skills in that? You know, like it's, mm-hmm. And I get that it's a different direction to where, you know, you're objectifying yourself on a social media platform, but it's like there's no skill set there, like physical, like my job. And so I feel like that's diminished a lot. I've noticed that over the years, in the past 10 years specifically. Especially with Instagram and Instagram quote unquote models. And it's like, they're not really models. They're just there. And it really bothers me because photographers just think like, you know, like if they hire an Instagram model, she's doing content too. And for me, it's not a content issue. Like I don't need content. Photographers just will give me images because they know that like my portfolio and like, It's for them, it's like, not to sound egotistical, but it's like an honor for me to post an image that they worked on with me. And so I feel like social media has taken a lot of that away. And it's like, that's the more important part of photographer and model's relationship, in my opinion.
I can't get over the thirst traps comment.
It's true.
That's so
Instagram.
It is. And Instagram models. Yeah, they have a very, very limited skill set that involves a few different angles and handheld selfies and very short and edited.
Yeah.
So in your eyes, then, Have other photographers been treating you as more of a commodity and less of a individually skilled worker because of this?
That is absolutely a thing. Yes. And it's bothersome.
How has this been represented and how they've acted? Has this been, they're expecting you to do more for less, pushing back against your rate or not?
Yep. All that. Yes. And it's, I try to, okay. My friends call me surgical. I'm a get to the point type person. I'm a very linear, logical woman. And I will call people on their bullshit all the time. And it's like, I really do. Cause it's like, no, you're wrong. That's not right. Think of it from this perspective. And then it's not my job to change their mind at the end of the day, but it is like, you know, like here's my side of it. And they hadn't bothered to think about that part. You know, like this is my living.
All right. And I can see where, especially for an amateur, a more new photographer trying to hire an Instagram model would probably have quite a few problems. The skill set is not really designed to work with a camera at a distance.
Yeah, and the photographer ends up being frustrated thinking all models are like that. And I'm like, hire me, you know? Like, it's a total other world. It's not the same thing.
Sure. So what was the balance of power like before social media became so prevalent?
The models had all the power in the world. Just, what are you going to photograph? A basket of fruit? Like, you know, you have to hire us. So it's like, now it's shifted a lot more because of exactly what you just said. And now it's like, I have to kind of sell myself a little bit more now because of the social media aspect of it. And again, like, that's fine. If that's part of my job, okay, fine. But they either get it or they don't. And if they don't get it, it's not my job to sell myself. It's my job to describe like where I'm coming from and if they care about that or interested in that. And so, it either works at the end of the day or it doesn't. So
is it mostly in terms of amateur models? IG has led to a huge influx in amateur models that photographers are taking advantage of. Is that... that be a summation?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the average photographer, because they're on social media, maybe not on places like Funnel Mayhem, they're not aware of the fact that there's this whole other world of us professionals out there versus the average Instagram model who is not a professional. And I think they think that's what it is. And my Instagram is a lot different than like a thirst trap Instagram model, you know, it's two totally different worlds, but they all think it's like that now and it's just not. And I feel like I'm fighting against it.
So how do you think the photographer should be reacting to this change?
Just being aware. There's two different worlds out there. There's social media and then there's like, you know, us who actually do this for a living and we actually care about the final result of what you're doing and we want to work with you and we really do care about where you're shooting. And, you know, an Instagram model doesn't care about any of that. So it's like, if they were aware that, you know, I feel like people like models like me are more genuine and more interesting and you're just going to get more out of it versus somebody that's on Instagram. I just think that's obvious.
So it sounds like the age old dilemma between image and substance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What should models be doing to take advantage of this change?
I mean, I'm really behind on the curve of Instagram. I literally got my model friends are like, get on Instagram. Finally, I think a year ago, I started an Instagram page. So I'm really behind on it. And I believe that the professional models that I know that are on Instagram, they rely on OnlyFans and Patreon and stuff like that. And, you know, now Zoom shoots and all that. But for me, I can't get on that bandwagon. It's just not something I can do. Because again, I don't like being objectified. And I think that working physically together is still a thing. And I'm just fighting them to still make it a thing.
You know, I just got on Instagram myself about 6 months ago.
Oh, really? So, yay, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I feel like a dinosaur saying that, but it's true.
Yeah, apparently. All right. So What do you think would be kind of the appropriate balance of power here? Is it that photographers should stop chasing the thirst traps? Do you think that the models need to step up their game? What do you think is the best way to solve this?
I mean, honestly, I don't have an answer for that because it's not one-dimensional. But at the same time, like, I mean, let's be honest here. Most photographers are males, and they're going to chase thirst traps to some degree. But also, it's like, if they were just aware of themselves and their work and, you know, put value into it instead of, you know, being just surface level on Instagram, which is that's all Instagram is surface level. There's more to it. There's more depth to life. There's more depth to what you're doing. So if they bother to think about that, photographers, well, models too, actually. So it's surface level versus depth, in my opinion.
Yeah, and there's an argument that that's being true in pretty much all of our social media. I know there's the, what do they call it, the forever feed, or the, where it just keeps scrolling forever.
Oh, God.
And yeah, you never get a chance to really engage. You're just constantly just flipping through pictures of pretty girls.
I mean, it's a Black Mirror episode, isn't it?
I have not seen all of Black Mirror. I've only seen a couple episodes, so.
Oh, I highly recommend
it. Yeah, I watched the one with the where they rate everybody.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm talking about was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's Instagram.
Well, yeah, and then the whole, like, the infinite feed where you just are flipping through, there's no real reason to dive into any individual photo. You just look at it and you're like, oh, this is a super pretty photo. And then you go on to the next super pretty photo.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I've structured my Instagram to where if I post something, there's a reason I post it. It's not just because something's pretty or whatever, or just, you know, there is a reason that I post that. And I feel like a lot of people understand it because they'll comment and be like, oh my God, how, you know, just say something that made them think. And at the end of the day, that's all I want to do is make somebody think.
You mentioned Instagram a lot. Do you have a social media presence for your modeling on the other networks, or do you just stick with Instagram?
No, I don't, again, I'm showing my age here. I don't know any other social media platforms. Like, people keep talking about TikTok. I still don't know what that is. And I'm like, I say the phrase, the kids, a lot. And so, like, I'm just on Instagram and Model Mayhem. I don't really, it's just too much work. Like, I don't want to dive into that. I feel like I'm going to lose part of who I am as a person if I do that.
Yeah, you can definitely waste an awful lot of your life on those sites.
Exactly. And there's more to life than that.
Is it a worthwhile filtering mechanism for photographers to see that they've worked with a lot of these, the types of models they've worked with in the past? Does that give you insight into their goals with photography?
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's the ever popular guy with camera.
Okay.
And some photographers are a little more serious about making art, and some photographers are a little more serious about taking pictures of pretty girls.
Right.
Do you distinguish between the two when you're working with them, or do you specifically target one over the other?
Yeah. Going back to what I was saying earlier is that my portfolio and my words, I chose to do on purpose because it's intimidating. I don't attract a guy with camera or somebody that's objectifying me. That is a very rare thing. I'll see straight through it every time. I tell people when I communicate with them, I can almost tell what they look like, and I can definitely tell what they do for a living. And that's just how good I am at reading people. And I've gotten really good at it over the years, but I just don't attract those people. And everybody has to work the right side of the brain somehow. And so photographers that choose photography with models, I feel like because it's a combination of, a lot of them are engineers and IT guys by day. So it's a way to, you know, work the left and right brain at the same time, in my opinion. Who wouldn't want to photograph, like I said, an aesthetic light reflector? I mean, it's, you know, it just makes sense. It's aesthetics and it's still left at the same time.
I don't even want to comment that I'm an IT guy, and that's,
I know, horrifying. I guess I nailed it, didn't I?
You know what though? You're right though.
I know.
I'm just thinking it makes sense. Like, cause photography is such a techie hobby or profession where, you know, if you're less of a tech guy, you probably picked up a guitar instead or picked up a paintbrush instead.
Yep. It's rare I get like doctors and lawyers hiring me, but let's just put it that way. It's not, they're all engineers, IT guys.
That actually makes me really curious what the most popular hobby is for doctors and lawyers.
It's probably something super nerdy.
No, you know what though? They're probably the ones with the boats and the...
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I find that the few lawyers that have hired me, there's been like maybe 10 ever, they do glamour stuff and they objectify a lot, which I think is interesting.
It is an interesting generalization.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in the let's move on to the current news category. In the news recently, there was a story where a model had posed nude for a photographer. She had signed the model release, and then the photographer wanted to publish her in a book. The photographer notified her she was being published. She did not want to be published and requested he remove her from the book. He refused. Do you have any thoughts on who's in the right here? Or
she signed the release. That's his image, not her. She doesn't have any say in that. As a model, she should have known that. Like, that's what the paperwork is for. It's to prove that you're 18. You're 18 and a parent and guardian is there, and that the images are his to do whatever he wants with. So you have to go into any shoot. Like, that's it's photography, right? So when you sign an agreement, you can't be ignorant of what you're signing. It doesn't mean you have to read the whole thing. It just means that likely it says that these are his images and he gets to do with them what he wants. However, since you said that was in the news, if I were him, like, I would judge, like, I don't know if this was the outcome or if, you know, this was happening and they were fighting, or I'm not sure what happened, but I don't know that drama would be worth it at the end of the day. But she's the one that's wrong here. He's the one that's right.
Yeah, there's some social consequences there.
Right.
How about in terms of new models that are thinking about doing nude modeling? I imagine this is something of a cautionary tale.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if you're comfortable in your own skin, it either makes sense or it doesn't, you know, like nobody's pressuring anybody to do anything. So for me, like I said, it didn't occur to me not to be nude. So, you know, there's been art models forever.
Yeah, and generally speaking, most art model books don't get a huge distribution either.
No, they don't. But I don't care. I don't really care about that stuff.
Have you ever had full-size prints in an art gallery?
Yeah, a lot.
What does that feel like when you walk through a gallery and you're up on the wall and full-sized?
Weird. It's very weird. It's like, oh my God, like, I should feel a certain way about that, but I can't feel any way but weird, because it's like a mirror, you know, and you're just like, oh God, that's me. What do other people think about? Well, I don't really care what other people think, but like, it's very strange and surreal. I'll say that.
I can imagine. Well, looks like we are reaching the end of our time. We have time for one last question. What is the most important thing that you think new models should do or should know before they get started doing nude modeling?
Like I said, you have to be comfortable with who you are as a person. You have to know who you are as a person and be comfortable in your own skin, because that reflects in the photo every single time. You know, if you're okay with that, and maybe you want to travel and get out there, like, that's a great way to do it. That's the way I saw it in the beginning when I got my passport for the first time. I was like, oh, great, I get paid to go traveling. I looked at it that way for a long time. Yeah, if you're comfortable in your own skin and you like pictures of yourself and, you know, you want to help somebody else create, which is that's my favorite part of it. I like helping the photographer create something. I like to see things come to fruition. If you care about things like that, then it's the right thing for you.
Awesome. So, Sarah, where can everyone find you online?
Just Instagram. It's my handle there is Art by Model Sarah.
Art by Model Sarah. All right. And your links to your Model Mayhem and any other sites that you have?
Just Model Mayhem / Model Sarah or 9510. That's how long I've been on there. 2005.
All right. Well, excellent. Thank you for coming on. And I know everybody will love this interview.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.